This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh my God, what a horrible song. Gord chose this. I should have known better than to have even asked him. I'm just going to go to Sibongile quickly. She hears a lot of music and she's often in charge of what we play out here. And Sibs, you like Gord's song?
No.
No.
Sorry, Gord.
No, you don't have to apologize to him. It's just shit. Thank you.
It's montaging music.
All right, thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, what? It's horrible. Montaging.
It's montaging music.
Explain that.
In a movie, when montaging music comes on, then the hero or whatever can achieve months or even years of hard work in like a 3 minute or 4 minute long scene. So I'm training boxing with a whole bunch of like proper MMA fighters and stuff, and they're lovely people, but they take what they do very seriously, and they don't know how to take me because I work hard, but I'm also fat and old. So they're like, the fat old guy's funny, but laughing at jokes might not be the right way forward. So I'm creating a montage playlist so that I can montage my training.
Like,
very smart, Gord.
Have you watched any movie where the hero has to come back through hard work? Like in every Rocky movie, he montages
climbing
like
up the
running up the stairs, running on the beach.
Back on my feet.
Yeah, and just montaging months of training. Getting ripped in the space of one song.
That's right. That's what they do. Okay, beautiful. CliffCentral.com. It is Wednesday morning, just after 7 o'clock. We've got a bunch of interesting things in the news to talk about. We've got some comments that have come through on WhatsApp or on Telegram or whatever the hell you use. 0797482090. We get all the messages. So a couple of things in the news. I think we'd start with, this is interesting. I mean, we haven't really referred to it at length, but New Zealand's Prime Minister declared on Tuesday that she would do everything in her power to deny the accused mosque gunman a platform for elevating his white supremacist views. They shouldn't have published this guy's manifesto.
Mm.
I don't see how it's going to do anyone any good. They should give it to a bunch of psychologists maybe to review, to see if we can get some insights into what makes people A, so hateful, and B, actually act on that hate, because that could be helpful. But for ordinary members of the public, all it's going to do is bring his crazy ideas the spotlight. So I think it's probably not a good idea to say his name. She said she won't mention his name ever in any more statements. The police, I think, mentioned it once, but that's it. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, rather, said gun law reforms will be announced in 10 days. A Christchurch gun shop on Monday acknowledged selling guns online to the 28-year-old. He was 28.
Mm-hmm.
This white supremacist accused of killing 50 people in a mosque that has upturned New Zealand's reputation as one of the world's most tolerant and safe nations. You see, this is another thing. I hear from people all the time who go, oh, but you know, there are some countries that are just safer. I want to raise my kids in a safe country. Now imagine you're a Muslim family that's left war-torn Afghanistan or
Syria
or Iraq or somewhere, and you decide you're going to go and settle in a safe place like New Zealand. And you get there and then this happens to you. It's like, you know, you're an accountant in a firm in New York in September 2001. You go to the office. Some lunatic flies a plane into a building and takes you down. There is no such thing as a safe place, and humans have got to realize our default setting has always been to war. So when you find, if you've lived a life of mostly peace, you really are very fortunate. It's not the default. People tend to forget this stuff.
But like, it's safety of a country is kind of like climate. You look at it over time, and then you look at like recent results, and from there you can get a sense of what it's like. So like, the stuff will and can happen absolutely everywhere, but where does it happen more?
No,
where
of course.
Is it more likely to happen?
Well, look, I mean, this is the other ugly thing that has to come into consideration when you talk about like Islamophobia and the dangerous places for Muslims to live, because this is about Muslims. Just like we would talk about Jews if it was the Tree of Light synagogue situation, which we did at the time, or if it was about Christians.
There was the Black Gospel Church in America
absolutely,
a year or two ago.
So let's... Let's get into those in their time. Right now it's about Muslims, and let's not blur the imagery here. The safest places for Muslims tend to be outside of Islamic countries. And this is true as evidenced by the fact that 86,000 people were killed in terror attacks in 2017, and I think 93% of them were in Muslim countries.
Hmm.
So if you live in an Islamic country and you're a Muslim, you are in more danger than if you live in the West.
Yeah, and I don't know what classifies a terrorist attack, but there's also some supposedly first world nations bombing the crap out of you as well, who probably don't list those casualties under first world, I mean, under terrorist
They're
attacks.
Not listed under terror, no, because those would be usually matters of war, but let's not draw distinction. It's still it's a dangerous world out there, and my sympathies go out to anyone who went to worship last week in their mosque and ended up having to either be killed or bury their loved ones, bury their friends,
and just be members traumatized of their community. By that forever.
Jesus.
And I mean, there's no time where there's any supremacy to having a big gun and going and hurting people who don't have big guns.
If you're so supreme, stand up in front of people, argue your points, and let's see how many you can
convert. Or walk to where the Muslim Rifle Association are having their practice for the week.
Sure.
And go and machine gun there and see what happens.
Yeah, because the chances are
we the supremacists need a massive unfair advantage. It's a bit contradictory.
Anyway, a former Pennsylvania pediatrician was sentenced to at least 79 years in prison on Monday for the sexual assault of 31 children, most of them patients. You know, there's some horrible things that are going on in the world. And we were talking about Michael Jackson earlier, but forget about him. He was a famous dude. He's dead now.
Well, that's it. I mean, this shit happens all the time.
Stuff's happening around us right now.
And like you were saying about terrorist attacks in Muslim countries, you just don't hear about them. Stuff as hectic as this New Zealand massacre happens literally every day.
Mm.
And it has always done. I mean, the world is more peaceful now than it's ever been. It doesn't say – that's in no way a comment to say that it diminishes these events. I'm just saying pedophilia shit happening like this dentist guy. Is that what he was?
He's a pediatrician.
Pediatrician.
So here's the
every
clip.
Day.
Listen to this. This is the actual clip.
His position of authority as a pediatrician, the family doctor relied on to treat and heal their children, to feed his own sick desires. Today, Cambria County Court Judge Patrick Kinry powerfully imposed a sentence of 79 to 158 years behind bars for this predator. He, of course, will remain behind bars for the rest of his life, exactly where he should be.
Yeah, he's not getting out anytime
soon.
How
old is he?
I'm not sure.
Because, I mean, it's also one of those things like the Bill Cosby vibe where you have probably about between 3 and 9 years of natural life left, and they're like, you'll spend the rest of your life behind bars. Like, okay, well, I was like millionaire rehypnol rapist for the bulk of my life. Hopefully this guy gets some actual time.
No, I think he will. I mean, look, the sentence is all that matters here, because it means effectively he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, which is a good thing.
Yeah, this is so twisted.
Now, I'm curious about a lot of the things in the news today, and we can get into New Zealand and we can talk a bit about that. We could talk about this situation. See, as very much into the Leaving Neverland documentary, which I think I've got to watch this weekend, among other things. But there are also lots of messages coming through, so let me get to some of those. First of all, an apology. I did say Paris Hilton earlier when I meant Paris Jackson. Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris Jackson, was admitted to hospital. She apparently was thinking of committing suicide. She's obviously going through a lot of trauma and tension at the moment because of her late father's posthumous
legacy
accusation of being
for
a
the record
child molester.
Hilton, Jackson or otherwise, suicide's never funny. It was just an opportunity for a quick chip,
of course. Mm-hmm. On the Michael Jackson topic, a lot of other people coming in. What the hell happened to kids shouting out loud? This is Mr. Schmangles. Stranger danger, or downright don't touch me, you creepy motherfucker. Kids just being stupid all those years. Remember Emmanuel Lewis sitting on Michael Jackson's lap when he was Webster and he was 26 years old? Nobody blinked an eye. Michael was screwed up, man. Who knows? Maybe they were a couple.
But that was a lot of what we talked about, was that it's conditioning and it's over time, and it's like there's more to it than you don't necessarily know you being bad thinged.
Okay, I don't want to throw a bunch of spoilers.
Yes,
if you're going
to
watch the documentary.
You desperately do.
But
look at your face.
You say couple, Mr. Schmangle. They're actually at a point exchange vows and rings.
Michael
Jackson and one of the boys, Jimmy.
No.
And Jimmy even says, one of the boys is now an adult in the documentary, even speaks about how In his words, he says, I know it's twisted to admit, but at a point when our relationship was starting out, it did seem like a conventional relationship. When you're so enamored with someone, you have sex a lot. And he says in the beginning stages, you know, they loved being around each other so much that they used to just have tons and tons and tons and tons of sex. And that was, to hear that was...
Angus, I got a question. I think we've all missed it. Did Jimmy and Wade know that they were in a love triangle, or did they have like alternate weeks?
It's a hell of a good point. Was there jealousy among the among the catamites?
Yes. No, and I'm also still trying to figure that out. Wade is slightly younger than Jimmy, so in the stories they tell both stories but parallel. Everyone is now like cracking up
at this. But did Michael have a partner roster for all seasons?
A roster.
I mean, was it like Jimmy and Autumn, Wade and Spring? I mean, I'm being serious here.
I don't know.
How dare all of you start laughing?
Like the kids are trying to figure that out.
On this week's episode of The Kid Chiller.
I got a lot of questions here. So here are a couple of others. Morning, guys. Did you see the shit going down in Boksburg on the R21? There were two city golfs with five occupants. Each went after an armored bucky transporting gold. Now, I saw this video and I didn't know what the hell was happening, so I had to follow up on the News 24 story. Land Cruiser, right? Normal white Land Cruiser is on the side of the road, full of bullet holes. It's transporting gold. Gold bars. And there are bullet holes all over it. The two people in the car miraculously survived. The police got there after having to shoot in the air so that people would clear the way. Ooh. You know, I don't understand how, if you're on the highway and you can move because there's a police car who needs to get to a scene, you don't move.
Yeah.
I just assume
ambulances, it's not, any of that shit.
I'm totally okay with people, you know, flipping the bird to the blue light brigade or whatever.
Yeah, but there's a chance it's important to move.
And there's a chance it could be someone's life at stake.
Some cops are really properly awesome.
And it might just be a relative of yours who's in trouble. You don't know. A friend, someone you know, someone you care about. Just let the cops do their thing. They're not trying to be a pain in the backside. And if they are, it's still going to cost you.
And even the one driving the blue light brigade is just doing what he's told. It's one dickhead in one of those nine cars that's misappropriating resources. The oak driving with the siren is just doing what he's supposed to do.
Apparently, the two guards in the gold van were shot. One was injured and the other looks like they might be dead, but that's in the video. Apparently, he survived. Robbers fled the scene into Boksburg, and a whole huge area around the East Rand Mall was closed off. How's that?
You said they were in multiple cars.
The robbers were in two city golfs. Or in polos or whatever they were.
What were they even doing with the gold bars?
Well, they were transporting them.
But obviously not in a proper armored van. Because are designed for just this kind of thing.
Correct.
Gold bars are some serious. So, are we talking like two or three gold bars or enough to
build
a shed?
A lot of them. To build a shed.
I want a shed like that in my house.
That's quite a great description. I got the visuals there.
Thanks.
Yeah. I got it.
Glad that you like
All right. Then a couple other people who said, have you guys also experienced problems with the water pressure or the lack thereof as a result of unreliable power?
No, but apparently that's an imminent thing. Like apparently with the water, with the electricity disruptions being the way that they are, I read a thing yesterday said that the water supply can and will be disrupted if this continues. But I have found that the fucking cell phones don't work. So your power goes out. Your home ADSL or fiber goes out, and then MTN have got no signal. And like once every hour, you get like 15 WhatsApps because your phone temporarily had a moment of like clarity. You can't tether your phone to your computer and use it for internet, so you literally are disconnected from the world. It seems to work for calls, but data, little to nothing.
Sure.
Which is like so frustrating. And then there's mosquitoes, and it's hot, and I'm fat.
Okay, let me just add to
that. Some of those are not the government's fault. Okay. Gord.
What was that?
Some of those are not the government's fault. All right. Someone else says, Ben, and I suppose this is also for you, Gord. Have you heard about the EFC fighter who killed someone in a fight in Benoni? Jesus, the East Rand is...
It's my boxing coach.
The East Rand is so dodge.
It's
what?
My boxing coach.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go into it because it's very personal stuff, but I wasn't there, but it sounds
very cut and dry that this dude was being properly harassed.
Oh, you aren't joking.
No, okay. It's my boxing coach. And it sounds like...
Sorry, hang a second. The dead guy?
No, the dead guy's not my boxing coach. Okay.
Yeah, all right. So he was... Was it in the ring fight?
No,
or,
he was being properly harassed by a person that he is a family connection that he kind of knows, who was very intoxicated and wouldn't leave him alone. And he repeatedly asked to be left alone and eventually was... being overwhelmed, and he warned the guy, and he hit the guy again. All what I've heard wasn't there myself. He hit the guy once, the dude fell, and he hit his head on a car going down, and then on the ground. And apparently, he was repeatedly warned, like, seriously, please leave me alone and stop being a nightmare for me. Mm. So that's what I know. And this is a wonderful kid, and certainly, again, you never know what people are like deep down, but. He's a great kid, and he's been through a really rough time, and he strikes me as a very cool person who's obviously – he doesn't seem to be out to murder anybody.
That's horrible.
But to my understanding, it was one clap from an oak that got multiple warnings, and it was what happened on the way down that killed him.
There we go. Kyle, you get more than you ask for when you come to this show.
Whoa.
You thought that Ben would have some comments. God knows the dude.
He montages me.
Anushka says, is it just my device? When the app keeps cutting out every few seconds, it's so annoying. Let's just wait for the podcast. Another thing to thank Eskom for. Yeah, it could just be the power, Anushka, what Gord was talking about just now. Unreliable power means that, you know, your cell phone signal's interrupted, blah, blah, blah. That's how it goes. I liked your song, Gord, says Kelly.
Thanks. Did I sing?
You should have heard the first three quarters of it.
The montaging song. Thank you.
And then G-Man says... Jesus, these filthy commie people in government. When will the liberal naysayers wake the hell up? Vote ZACP. Someone asking for Michael Learns to Rock.
We talked about that earlier about how they don't speak English. So that's why, like, their song is like...
A few weeks ago.
Paint My Love.
That's it,
man. That's all the English I know.
It's the picture of a thousand sunsets. It's the freedom of a thousand doves.
All right, so, Gord, you wanted to ask me about Tomorrowland Winter.
Yes, did you rave your tits off? I see you have no tits. Did you rave them off?
No, I didn't rave them off. It was very good. I mean, the one night there was quite a lot of snow, so it was a bit of a blizzard.
They do it in snow time.
Oh, dude, yeah. This is Tomorrowland Winter.
Holy shit.
So it was in the mountains. And it was just an amazing lineup. Listen, these guys know what they're doing. God, they organize
it. Looks
it
like
well.
A mirror of a production.
Everything.
Like the stage and the lasers and all that shit.
They make it look like they've left no detail unattended to. The doorways all are decorated in this theme. The bathrooms are beautifully done. The food stalls, you wear a little bracelet that has a different currency on it, and you scan that to pay for things. And obviously, it's going to make them a lot more money. Because you're using this currency, so you don't actually know how much you're spending for what you're getting.
That's a cuck thing with festivals with that stuff, is that often it's hard to get your remaining balance back.
Yeah,
and if you want to top up, you have to schlep to do it, so you put in more than you think you'll need.
Correct.
And then you struggle to get it back afterwards. Yeah, that's normal festival stuff. So, and the music and that.
Amazing.
What did you like
amazing.
The most?
I thought that there
tell us what you liked the most and what you liked the least.
So the best 2D... And remember, I'm not a big...
It's guy.
Yeah, I'm not. But I do like stuff which is melodic. I do like stuff which has, that you can hum, basically. I don't like the...
Which is the stuff that I do like, yeah.
Okay, so I... And also, I wasn't high, so it was difficult for me to get
I was going
to
ask, did you not at least take a ecchi? I mean, it feels like if you're going to go to Tomorrowland, if there's ever a time to jaw a ecchi, it's Tomorrowland.
I'm sorry I didn't, because it might have made the party.
It's like, I don't usually gamble, so when I spent a week in Vegas, I didn't jaw a single slot machine. It's like, it's not a...
Okay, but good. You know me. It's just not my thing.
Tequila and...
Yeah, and there was...
intellectual banter.
The one night...
perfect hair.
The one night I got... kind of drunk, but I was absolutely hell-bent on getting on the slopes the next morning and skiing, so I wasn't going to get
too... terrifying. So what was your worst bit about it?
So, okay, best part was, I'd say, Lost Frequencies, amazing. This is
band.
It's the geekiest little dude. He plays some amazing music, great DJ, takes it hugely seriously. He's a musician, right? And then...
So he doesn't put in a USB stick press play and then jump up and down next to the next to the desk.
And listen, I'm really cynical about DJs because I did it for a while, so I've seen it from the inside. And I never considered myself a great DJ, but
you had hip hop beats though, dude.
But dude, you can bullshit your way through DJing and you can still do a reasonably competent job. I saw Steve Aoki, who I thought was crap. And he's just tired and old, and he's run out of ideas.
Trolling with Dan Bilzerian too much.
I think so. And then Martin Garrix was just fantastic. He was the kind of headliner.
This Frequencies kid, what was he doing that made him so musically
no,
cool?
No, I just like his music. His selection of music, it takes you up, but brings you down. It's got...
Remember try it with an ecchi.
Now, remember, they've got fireworks, and they've got flames, and they've got streamers, and they've got... It's a whole show, you know. They put a huge amount of money and effort into this. So I don't know how they do it, whether he just plays freestyle, and then they've got a special effect or a lighting.
It's actually just a wooden stage with a smoke machine and two spotlights, but someone slipped you an icky.
Oh, no, I promise you, this I've got the visual record
in the car park. Some guy's hooting
while another dude lit a cigarette.
So I was very... I've never been to one of these festivals before, so I had nothing really to expect. And the friend of mine who invited me on this trip in the first place, he organizes a lot of big events here in South Africa. So he got us VIP treatment. It's nice to have the option. I obviously went onto the floor.
Must be rare for you, Gareth. No, it looks...
You want to know or not?
It looked cool. What was the shit part?
It wasn't a shit part. I fell on my ass a couple of times skiing.
Is that what really, you got your roasty on your arm for?
Yeah, I got that from falling in town because, you know, you got that black ice that you slide on and... Oof. Slip on. If you wear sneakers, you're screwed.
What? God. Black ice. Although that is what caused the bus accident in 1986, killed Metallica's original bassist Cliff Burton. Was a bus in Scandinavia slipping on black ice.
Wow.
Apparently you can't get any traction and the brakes don't work and you just slide.
I couldn't even get traction in a pair of Adidas on there, so
it's black ice. Face. It makes you slide.
It's dangerous.
Michael learns to rock winter.
Michael learns to walk on black ice.
So it was great. No, I had a terrific time. What else do you want to know?
No, that's it. You didn't take an icky.
Unattractive people.
That's it. Gareth's stories ended like here.
I did want to ask
there's
you.
Nothing too colourful.
I did want to ask you though, because I didn't see any. But is it? Or can obese people ski?
I have tried to ski when I was in good shape, and no. So I would imagine I'd be worse at it now, even.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think because
I mean I can do coordinated activity.
I'm not talking about you.
But I'm an obese person, and I imagine if my life depended on it, I could learn to ski.
Yeah, but the point is, with skiing, you're using gravity.
Yes, which affects you the same, whatever size you are.
Yeah, but...
I don't fall out of a plane faster than you, Gareth.
But you have more ballast.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have more forward pull because of my center of gravity. But, you know, me and you, we're all the same gravity.
Okay.
I'm pulled towards the earth so hard, Gareth, you wouldn't believe. No, I mean, any physical activity, sprinting, badminton, the hurdles, all, you're a bit impeded. But, yeah. But I mean, yes, I believe there probably are ski-capable fat people. I, however, have no aptitude whatsoever for skiing, even when I'm in fantastic shape, and I call it falling and being wet, and I fucking hate it.
Someone says, yeah, any dick-sucking required to put Tomorrowland together, hashtag Firefest.
Answer Bean. One or two.
Well, these guys obviously... What I understand to have happened is that this little town in the French Alps is called Alpe d'Huez.
Folks know what they're doing at that place.
Well, apparently they've said to Tomorrowland, come in and do this for 5 years. It's going to help our little town develop a reputation because they, you know, they're all competing with each other for
tourism. So it's a ski resort town.
Yeah.
It's otherwise an imposing, ordinary little town.
Yeah, it's probably quite chilled. As Ben pointed out on Monday, they have a reputation for being a stage of the Tour de France, an alpine stage of the Tour de France where you have to climb up a very steep selection of hills. And that's what they're famous for. But they now want to expand their reputation. So obviously the council of this little town decided they're going to invite Tomorrowland in and give them the town to turn into a festival.
Make the whole town a rave.
So I assume it'll be going on for the next 5 years. So that's quite interesting. Just that from an organizational point of view, for people who have seen Fire Festival, that might be interesting.
Step one, know what you're doing. Step two, make plan. Step three, check viability of plan. Step four, implement plan. Step five, sell tickets.
Step six, don't have all the cocaine in the first week.
Yeah, don't take all. Yeah, don't take all. Don't, as the organizers, enjoy all the entertainment on your own while planning the festival and then not be able to replicate it later.
So here's a question. I maybe should have saved this for Leanne, but let's go ahead anyway. This is from Chris in the Norwegian Arctic.
Okay.
Chris says, hey team, Gareth, you and Leanne briefly discussed the pronunciation of aluminium versus aluminum during the Law coffee capsules talk, which we discussed with Chris Forrest on Monday. So Bill Bryson beautifully described the origins of the metal and its name in his book, A Brief History of Nearly Everything.
Which such a good book.
Amazing book.
Best book I've ever read. If you only in your life ever get to read one book, read that one. But if you've only ever read one book, you'll probably struggle with it. But it's a great book.
So Chris agrees. He says, I highly recommend any history fans that this book should
just
be the
fan
one.
Of anything. So it's the history of everything made really entertaining.
So British chemist Humphrey Davy originally called the metal aluminium. This, of course, made the Germans and the French very unhappy, and he finally settled on aluminium. Sorry, aluminum, like platinum, despite the modern elements having IUM suffixes. The original naming is still a contentious point between Americans and the rest of the world. And then he puts in a source as well to an article.
Dun, dun, dun. Plot
but it is interesting.
The Americans might be right on a pronunciation issue.
That's it. I mean,
will wonders never cease?
There are a whole lot of very interesting things about the periodic table too. Like the symbol for tungsten is a W because it's actually Wolfram, which is the German name for it. So there are a couple of them.
Best story ever.
Ruthenium. Shut up, Gord. Ruthenium is named after Russia. But it sounds like it's named after someone called Ruth.
Should we surely be called Russian?
Yeah, you'd say Russianium or something. But there are a whole bunch of really, really stupid names that are coming through now for the elements.
There's one called Californium.
That is correct.
I know, because they found it in California. And it's a theoretical one that they had to like create so it could temporarily exist so they could prove of its existence. There would be a, God knows there would be a Gordinium if
there's a Gadolinium.
So that's in reference to what?
No, well, it's close enough to Gordium.
There would definitely be a Gordium.
There's a Gordian knot in.
I know about those, but that's more Greek of a history. Gwardian knot.
No, it's G-O-R-D.
Well, then it's the best knot ever after Slipknot. Who actually recently parted ways with one of their members.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, terrible news. Chris Fenn, the nose guy.
Yes.
He's left and he accused the band of withholding a fair payment. But he is the most useless member of the whole band. He strokes his nose and bangs on the one trash can. So if you're going to lose a member, which is sad for us fans of Slipknot, it's probably this
guy. That's the guy to lose. Yeah. That's all he did?
He does backing vocals, but he also is the second of the extra percussionists. So yeah, it's a bummer.
Second of the extra percussion.
Yeah, well the extra percussion.
Talk about
the extra percussion is
superfluous
cool.
Superfluous people and sheltered employment.
Extra percussion does add to
the sounds
percussion.
Like the ANC. But I mean, stuff the cabin.
Out of the two extra percussionists on top of the drummer, well, no. Not physically, but as well as the drummer, he's the one that's like less impressive.
Gord, I'm sorry. This is fascinating. Just like my discussion of the elements.
Yeah, exactly. Like so, what was it? Warninium.
Yeah, let's just stop because tomorrow is a public holiday and people want to reflect on this. The Tuli Madonsela Foundation, Tuma, will be doing more than just doing that tomorrow. They'll have a series of powerful conversations around human rights and the power they have to impact change. Of course, it's Human Rights Day tomorrow, if you can't remember what the reason is that we get the day off. Well, we've got Sean Nell, who's from the foundation, to tell us a little bit about their event that they're doing tomorrow. The event is part of the Demologues that the foundation hosts. That's Democracy Dialogues, Demologues. Hey, Sean, nice to see you, man.
How you going? How's it going?
Good. First of all, how did you get involved with the foundation?
I've known Professor Madonsela for quite a while.
Yeah?
And friends of the family. I don't know if you know Wantu.
Wantu Madonsela is Tuli's son.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. So I met him once or twice before.
Okay, I'm actually, you guys got stuck with me. I know he was meant to be here today, but...
No, you're all right.
I'm standing in.
We don't have a problem. Let's just do a round the room check here. See, are you okay with Sean? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben, everybody okay?
Yeah, okay.
We decided not to expel you. So Sean, tell us about the Demologues and tell us about what tomorrow's events consist of.
Super. So thanks for already explaining a bit of it. The Demologues often is a word where people kind of raise their eyebrows a little bit.
They hear demagogue, right? And they go, ooh.
Yeah, I got to stay away from that.
Yeah.
So it's the democracy of dialogue. So the aim of the foundation, we've got sort of a number of facets, but one of them is to deepen democracy through dialogue. And I know a lot of people always say, don't be all talk. But I think something that drives us is the fact that if there is, I can't think who the quote's attributed to, I think they're not sure, but if there's a directionless ship, no wind is favorable for a directionless ship. So there is some value to talking.
And well, of course, and let's be fair, in politics, really all we've got is to talk. It's the only way we figure our way from A to B, because politics isn't really particularly practical.
Yeah, and not too many of us really understand it, but I suppose that...
And we don't do civics at school, so a lot of South Africans end up 18 years old and they're told, okay, now you can go and vote, and they have no idea of what democracy is, of what a qualified franchise what liberty is, or what representation in parliament means, and we don't learn any of this stuff at school.
Look, so I suppose that's the reason for a very low voter turnout with young people, and it's quite sad, because it's in essence it drives democracy.
Sure,
people need to use the electoral process to hold politicians to account, and at the moment that's not happening.
No,
and I know there's a lot of disinterest from people, because we see, prime example now, we've got big issues with Eskom, but not getting involved will only make these issues continue.
Absolutely, it exacerbates the problem. So I suppose you either get involved and you learn and you understand and you improve your knowledge and your understanding of what it means to live in a democracy and what your role is in that democracy, or you abdicate completely and you just sit on the sidelines and let other people control your destiny.
Right, and the idea behind the Demologues is to get, putting quotation marks for guys who can't see, to get ordinary people, young people involved in the process. Because at the moment, we kind of see it as something that's perhaps above us.
Or very old, you know? Because, the average politician in Africa is over 70 years old. We have two parties in this country who have leaders
is
under
the
age of 50.
Average?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Okay, for leaders, yeah.
The average is 70.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's old people. And in South Africa, we do have two parties with young leaders, Julius Malema and Musi Maimane. Both of them are hardly the kind of leaders you want, but there we go. And we've got Cyril, who's, approaching 70 from one side
of the
other.
That's the average. There must be some, 96-year-olds offsetting the guys in
their
30s.
Well, think about Bob. He was in his 90s.
Yeah, sure.
He only quit a year and a half ago. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got lots to learn. But what I'm interested in here, Sean, is who do you invite to these things? Who gets to listen? Who gets to speak? What's the idea? Is it a forum? Is it, a Q&A? How do the actual dialogues work?
So we're still a fairly young foundation. We've been around for about 2 and a bit years now. Mm. So we rely on people to collaborate with us. And we've built some good relationships in the meantime. So there's different iterations of how the Demologues work. I'll use tomorrow as an example. And look, Human Rights Day it's a very big, very important day. It signifies something that happened many years ago, and that needs to be talked about. I think it's often swept under the rug. And what we'll do is we'll invite people that have subject matter experts, that have a certain expertise on these topics and can share with us. So tomorrow we're having...
So it's not just a whole bunch of people who don't know anything throwing their opinions.
No. I think the idea is just to sort of bring people together. Ordinary people, again, I hate using the term ordinary, but
I know what you mean, though.
Makes sense to draw the comparison.
You mean non-celebrities and people who have important political jobs and so on.
Exactly. So if I use tomorrow as an example, we've got one keynote talk that's getting done. We've got a very strong education sort of theme among the speakers. It wasn't intentional. It's just the way it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But Khotsi Shikane.
Yes.
He was an author of a book. I think he's been on your guys'
show. He has been on, yeah.
And then we've got a panel with Professor Tuli Malinsela, mm-hmm. Professor Adam Habib
from Wits.
And then Kabelo Mkhlogwane, he's from the foundation, in education, he's a teacher. And then Fasiya Hassan, I think it's pronounced actually.
Yes.
Who was also involved in the Fees Must Fall movement.
All right.
But they're basically there to talk about. We've also got moderators that guide them sort of in the right direction.
There'll be some sparks between Adam Habib and Fasiya Hassan, obviously.
I hopefully we can control them well enough.
So you've got Tula Sizwe Simelane and Kathy Motlatlana as the MCs.
They are MCing and hosting for us. So one of them will be the moderator to sort of run the discussion. We try and not let it run sort of run too loose. And a big focus of ours now is reach in the actual room is limited. I mean, you're always limited to 200 or 300 people, however many attend. And we're actually going to, we're kicking off a podcast as well.
Good.
Greatly influenced
the way to
and,
go.
By you guys showing us what's sort of what's good about it.
Thank you. Yeah, we deserve the credit. Yes, we'll take it.
Well, it took you a while to build it up. It's a bit of a tough crowd here in South Africa. It takes a while.
No,
but so we're actually kicking off a Voices of Democracy podcast. That this will be we've had a small sort of intro episode, but this will basically be our first main podcast.
So. Where has Professor Thulima Donsela been in the last while? Because a lot of people say that, you know, she's sorely missed on the political front. Of course, she doesn't have public office anymore. She's largely in academia. But this foundation is a major focus of her time and attention, right?
That's right. So she's the founder, but she's not necessarily actively involved in the running of the foundation. She's down in Stellenbosch. And she's working in a department there that's focused on achieving social justice.
Okay.
So that's where she's been sort of mostly based. She's up and down. I mean, she attends some of the events, but the foundation sort of, it exists to extend her legacy, not just to have her at every event. She's a widely popular lady. So
of course.
We could have her at every event and we'd have tons of people, but ultimately you want to drive a legacy once she's maybe not around anymore, you know.
And
so
it's a powerful endorsement. I mean, 100%. Yeah, you don't get much more powerful in local terms of local politics than that.
Well, certainly in terms of people who...
She has more followers than you on Twitter.
Probably, I would imagine, and a whole lot more credibility.
Yeah, and caters aside, I mean, many people are a fan of her. She's very popular. She's got universal appeal.
She also managed to weather some pretty hardcore storms and some very serious threats against her own person. And
she's a proper badass in other words.
She stood up to all the evil state capture dudes who everybody's turning on now. Now it's en vogue for everyone to say how awful those
people.
She
was like
ahead of the
hip before it was cool to fight those dickheads.
She was the canary in the coal mine.
But she survived, so that metaphor's not ideal.
Okay, sorry. That's okay. Good point, Gord. All right, so tomorrow, when is it happening? And can anybody come?
So we'd prefer people email us.
Yeah.
We've got an email address.
All right, don't just pitch.
Communications@tumafoundation.org.
Communications at Tuma, T-H-U-M-A, foundation.org.
Thanks, yeah.
And you can also get hold of them on Facebook and Twitter, right?
You can. We're on all social media platforms, so if you want to give us a follow on LinkedIn and all of those,
sure.
Go have a look around. We're definitely there. Also, our podcast is on all the podcast platforms. And we're not saying people can't shop, so we encourage people to take part in the day.
Mm-hmm. But try to book in advance.
It will help us plan a little bit better.
Sure. Yeah. So the hashtag is DemoLogs, D-E-M-O for democracy, log for dialogues on social media. And you can also follow them at Tuma Foundation for more.
So log like
that's
hello.
Right.
L-O-G-U-E. D-E-M-O-L-O-G-U-E. Demo log.
Correct.
Kicks off at 10 tomorrow, but if people can be there sort of from 9 o'clock to register.
There might be a bunch of people who drink tonight and won't make it on time.
Well, there's enough people already coming, so if you guys do party a bit hard, it's okay.
No.
And it's at
Gibbs. People who care about democracy will be there. Right, Sean?
But democracy is a party all on its own.
No, it's a bunch of parties, Gord. It's multi-party democracy.
Look, an interesting thought, maybe just...
As I said that, I was like, double meaning of party. This joke's going nowhere. I was committed.
Well, that's what's been happening the last while, I suppose. So
the parties are having a real party.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably want to talk about this stuff, too, because of the Eskom situation. You know, suddenly when your problems become real and tangible, you suddenly start to take politics a little more seriously.
Yeah.
And you
although
realize,
it could happen scenarios when they finally happen and you go, oh shit, this is real.
Well, you start.
Because you kind of get so desensitized to it. You're like, we've been getting gooned for so long, we don't feel it anymore. And then it's like, oh wait, hang on. Like, you can't just get on with it with certain shit. You need the water to be working. You need the power to be on.
Absolutely.
You need your internet, data, Wi-Fi, cell phone vibe to work because you can't just get on with it. You know, the traffic lights being out, you can just get on with, but when shit starts to fall apart, it's a real thing. It's scary and horrible.
And if I can mention one thing, just with human rights sort of specifically in the spotlight at the moment. I mean, it's a very – human rights is different all over the globe. But for society to continue or to to succeed, we need to have something to cooperate around. And I think human rights is a good cooperative goal that we can take forward. I think people, if people take it a little bit more seriously, society can get a lot further. So.
And I think it's something
it's a good point.
Something we all agree on, you know. And that's hard to achieve because people are from, you know, diversity does you no good unless you have a common vision or common values.
That point of, you know, people needing something to cooperate around is a lovely thought.
Well, it's the only way that diversity does represent strength. Otherwise, diversity just means
something
division.
Something to unite everyone despite being different. Yeah. But like not just the idea of having a shared ideal, something to actually cooperate around, work towards. It's a lovely way to put it.
Well, Sean, thank you for joining us this morning. I hope that we'll all be taking part in these demologues and participating with the Tuma Foundation, which sounds to me like it's doing very good work and very necessary work with young people. And I wish you well.
Thanks so much. Please feel free to join us as well.
Absolutely. All right. Very good. There's Sean Nell. He's from the Tuma Foundation. And you can find out more by going to them on social media at Tuma Foundation. Or you can email them for tomorrow, communications@Tuma. That's Tuma Foundation.org. That's if you want to get your tickets and make sure that you have a reserved spot there. I love when we have a plan. We're so professional on this show.
What are O's going to do to Joel this long weekend, Joel? Whatever has got planned.
Well, what are you doing? Well, I don't even know what you just said. Was that English?
It was what South African colloquialism. And you knew exactly what I meant. What are O's doing on this long weekend, Joel?
Okay.
Well, good. I'm going away.
Romantically.
Yes, tell us about this. Is it an anniversary of some kind?
No, that's next month.
Okay, so it's just for...
Just
this is
because
just
of the romantic soul. Yeah. The burning heart.
Nice. Yeah, the burning heart. In the log cabin.
In the log cabin.
See, you can montage everything.
On a bearskin rug, standing next to the fire.
Yeah, okay. Gets a bit more creepy when you do it. But,
On a bearskin rug, lying next to the... On a flaccati rug.
So, yeah, I'm going to be montaging a lovely weekend away. And then I get to play this golf course I haven't played before.
Well, without giving away, like, I don't want people to stalk you, but where are you going?
Dahlstrom area.
Ooh, wow, cool. Big enough area to not have people find you, but on specific Friday, enough that we can picture the greenery.
On Friday, I will be at Highland Gate, weather permitting, flying drone, playing golf.
So you get, like, a romantic montage. Weekend in, but you're allowed to get in a sneaky round of golf. That's very...
But that's part of the romance.
That's fair, and it's nice.
Poor Daniel has to
we're
cart his
draw
bag around.
3 days. It's going to be mostly, like, wine romance and whatever else on the bearskin rug. But well, I'm for one afternoon. Neither am I, which makes... Makes the Joel weekend a little bit like it's extra productivity time with Gord.
Is that what you're doing?
He said in an old man
way.
Is
that really what you're doing?
Yeah, boxing, training, a little bit of working, planning overseas trip mission admin, boring shit. But it's going to be rad.
Where are you going next, Gordon?
I'm going to not Spain. I'm going to...
I don't think she listens to the show, so you have to say it.
Sometimes
it has to be like that, Gord.
I'm more letting the fish in the ocean know that the net has been recast. Just in case you guys are worrying about the strategy of that.
It's a terrible whale analogy, though.
I'm going to... the whale is casting the net.
Gord is back in the market.
So I'm going to Dublin, and I'm watching Metallica and Ghost. And I'm going to Amsterdam, and I'm watching
Metallica and
Ghost.
And then you're staying with High Rob.
I was going to, but unfortunately his roommate has protested, and now I'm going to be finding alternate accommodation. Rob was very apologetic.
Is this High Rob in Amsterdam?
Yes, he was going to have us.
High Rob was on the show last week.
Yes, he was.
I missed that.
He's breaking. He's breaking himself. He's like breaking bones, and he's a mess.
But he's trying to. He's in the winter period now, and summer is approaching. So he's montaging for buffness and sex and jawling in summer.
But like all the chicks in Amsterdam now know of High Rob.
And because he fled his Cape Town reputation because he had totally ruined his opportunity. Yeah. Like everyone knew of him.
And now all the chicks in the canals there all know. They know. They see him coming. They're like, no, this guy's
ruined it.
He's just jawling.
He's literally overjawled Holland.
That's
now,
incredible.
If you think about that.
That's an incredible feat.
Yeah. Not only in terms of the stimulants, but in terms of the whoring. So, like, if you could outbone and outjawl Holland, then you know you are the champion of the world.
That's truly phenomenal. Yeah.
We should call him His Royal Lordship, Rob.
I think so from now on.
And then I'm going to Australia in October to watch Slipknot and Metallica and also see lots of friends that have moved there.
Gosh, Gord. You're busy.
I'm trying to get to 10 Metallica shows in my lifetime. I'm on 7. If all of these go according to plan, I'll be on 11, and 16-year-old me will be able to finally rest.
Yeah, well, it's about time, because 16-year-old you has been plaguing the rest of us for a very long time.
You love 16-year-old me.
Nope. All right, hi, G. Welcome
hurtful,
back.
But funny.
This is from someone else on the WhatsApps this morning. You can get us on 0797482090. Just want to say how great the show is, and sometimes the show is truly the highlight of my day. You have an excellent team. I enjoy each of them, except for Sia. Sia should shut his whore mouth, says this person. Have a great day. What a mean thing
did
to say.
Did you just throw that in, or did he really say that? Everyone's great except Sia. Mm. I'll have you know, Sia is the nicest person in the whole wide room.
No, he's not. This is the thing. He actually isn't.
Sia's so nice.
No, he's not.
Typical Kopinski comment.
Sia's like the rest of us. He's not actually that nice. That's why he's here.
He does the uplifting story. He's supportive. He phones me to wake me.
Everyone's
most
got a
days
thing,
except
yeah.
today.
Everyone's got a thing. But
your thing is to find people not nice and see the bad in
Sia.
Ben, go ahead. I am what? I am where?
You're not overly nice. You're normal. So Gord makes out like you're this angel, but of course you're not.
Sia just power walked in here like RuPaul's Drag Race on Fast Forward.
Don't stereotype with RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm a lot of things except a whore, so your message is quite inaccurate.
You said your whore mouth is a difference.
My mouth is not... I'm not stupid.
I stood up for you when you were in chess, yeah.
Thank you, Gord, but I don't stoop so low because
hashtag
my crown will fall.
Hashtag United against Ben.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to call the circus to an end for this morning. As usual, Wednesday madness. Thank you.
What's your long weekend? We didn't all
answer
the question.
I haven't made any plans at all.
He's getting his tits back to draw them off again.
Yeah.
Right.
Grow your tits back so you can draw
Shut
them off
up,
at the
all
next
of you.
Race.
Listen, we'll see you on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent long weekend. Keep it on cliffcentral.com. There's plenty of podcasts
Love
to keep
you
going.
Guys.
Loads of interesting interviews. We're going to be talking to a number of political leaders ahead of the election. About all kinds of important stuff like their manifestos, precisely what they believe in, why you should vote for them, why you might not want to vote for them, what the reasons are that they should be taken seriously in our democracy, and loads of other interesting people along the way too. So in the next few weeks, it's going to get really exciting. Stick around for all of that and more. We will see you on Monday.
May it be a montage of drooling.
There we go. Stage 5 and 6 load shedding is the next thing on Eskom's agenda. The South African public wonder how many more levels there are after this, to which Pravin Gordhan said a commission is being set up to provide an answer for that. For 350 million rand, 14 board members will explore the rollouts in stages 7, 8 and 9 and 10 this weekend, with their findings to be released soon. Isn't that exciting? Cyril Ramaphosa, who's the president of South Africa, is having a really tough week, so tough that he's retelling everyone how Trevor Noah came to visit him recently. In the light of all that's happening in South Africa right now, Trevor Noah, however, has asked him to please stop doing this and also take down the video of them meeting. Finally, Japan's super rugby team, the Sunwolves, are set to be thrown out of the tournament just 4 years into their participation. Sanzar originally said they were thrilled to have them and try to grow the game in Japan, but after it was revealed that the tournament ranked low, right below a late-night granny queefing game show for 3 years in a row, they felt that the project wasn't really working. So, ta-ta, Sunwolves. All right, we will see you Monday. What?
How do you beat late-night granny queefing? I mean, if that...
Shut up, Gord. Good Lord. It's an irritating person.
That's why you have me.
It's such an irritating person. All right. We love you. Cheers. We'll see you Monday.
Love you. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.